During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go!
Let's go!
We ain't got no time to waste. Let's go.
Let's go.
You are now listening to Jason Anderson. And you are in the zone.
The Zone is presented by Guaranteed Foods, delivering all-natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more free time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteedFoods.com.
Bahart back to Brunson. Brunson double team, splits the defense. Lowry takes it away, picked up by DiVincenzo. 8 on the 24, DiVincenzo, corner to Brunson. Sidestep, three-pointer, shot, it's good! Took the bounce and went in. Two-point game. Ball knocked loose, and Maxey gets knocked down. Hart takes it away, out top to DiVincenzo, his shot won't go. Hartenstein the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a one-point lead with 13 seconds remaining.
The game. Three-pointer LeBron. Missed it. Rebound corner. There's the stop. Over to Jamal Murray. They have to foul. They have to foul. He's at the midcourt circle. 4 seconds. 3 seconds left. Why are they not fouling? Jumper Murray. Got it to Hart. Denver bounce the comeback. They come back from 20 points down. They win game number two. 101 to 99 is the final. And the Lakers can take that out on the way out.
What a great call. The Lakers can take the L on the way out. Wow. It's a great call. I don't know that Darvin Ham would have got on the plane. I don't know that I would have allowed Darvin Ham on the plane if I was the Lakers. Like, Darvin, see if Mark Malone has a spot on his staff because you ain't coming home with us. We're going to take that L home, but we're also going to have a seat. We're going to place that L in Darvin Ham's seat on the plane because you ain't coming home with us, man. You know, it's always good if the guy who's cooking last night and had 32 points through three quarters takes two shots in the fourth quarter in Anthony Davis. That's really good because you definitely want to get Spencer Dinwiddie going to the basket. You got to get Prince chucking up shots. Austin Reeves needs to take some shots. It's a good idea to not set up some action and create opportunities for Anthony Davis, who had 32 in the first three quarters. That's just me. I'm a novice. I'm just watching for fun. I'm just enjoying it last night, although I didn't need to stay up till midnight, knowing the inevitable. Like, nobody thought the Lakers were going to win last night, right? Like, no matter when, even when the Nuggets and Jamal Murray was struggling and wasn't hitting shots, I don't care about the Nuggets struggling. It didn't matter. Like, Anthony Davis is cooking. Now! But the best part about Anthony Davis in the series is he's wearing those bright shoes, so somebody will be able to find him when he inevitably disappears in a quarter or two. Nuggets. It didn't matter. It did not matter. But I really felt bad for you. Because I'm sort of a Laker fan by proxy, just simply because I root for LeBron. People know that. You
love the Yankees, too, and Alabama football?
No. I just root for LeBron. I don't have an NBA team.
Just wanted to check.
If there was an NBA team in town, I would root for the NBA team in town. I don't have an NBA team. So what I did when I grew up is I loved Reggie Miller, so I was rooting for the Pacers simply because of Reggie Miller. And then LeBron came along, and I'm like, this guy's amazing. Like, I thought Jordan was amazing. It was like, I was like the exact opposite. I was like what other people are with Patrick Mahomes now, in just wanting to see the Chiefs lose for something different. That's how I was back in the day. And I'm like, dude, he's unbelievable. Like, I was arguing with people when I was in my teens about Jordan being better than Magic. Like, I was dealing with the old heads that were like, Jordan will never be as good as Magic. Jordan's a one-on-one player. Magic's a team player. Magic's won championships. Jordan's just a one-on-one. Jordan's the best one-on-one player ever.
Like, I'm Bob Cousy. I'm still pounding the fish for
yeah.
Bob Cousy.
Mikan. Yeah. I've been doing the Mikan series since I was 5 years old, just those little reverse layups and right hand, left hand.
Yeah.
Like, if you come up with a Mikan series, I don't remember doing any drills called the Jordan series. That's just me, though.
Just rules.
He did rule back in the day. But I rooted for Reggie Miller and the Pacers because it was like, oh, it's different. I loved being a shooter, and I loved sort of the brash in-your-face mentality of Reggie Miller. And then LeBron came along, and I'm like, this dude is different. So I rooted for the Cavs. And he went, so I just rooted for him because I don't have a team. The next one that comes along, we'll see who I'll root for. But no, I don't root for the Yankees or Alabama football. I root for the ones that I have local connections with. But I did feel bad for you, though. Because I know you are a true 76ers fan.
Yeah.
And that was rough. And I do wonder, like, where this loss ranks in your history of, you know, the Embiid had the flu, the Kawhi shot.
It's the Kawhi shot, okay?
26-point third quarter lead.
That's the one.
Ben Simmons passes on the dunk in Game 7. The Game
Who's
6
ben
collapse.
Simmons?
Sorry. The Game 6 collapse. When Embiid didn't demand the ball, or last night.
Who's Ben Simmons?
I'm not sure.
I've blocked him out of my memory. He caused me so much pain on and off the court.
Yeah. You specifically, I totally get that. It was the Kawhi shot.
It was the Kawhi shot that stands out.
Yeah. Last night was rough, though. Last night was rough. Like, you can't lose that game. Like, both teams can't lose that game, right? Like, neither team can lose that game if you want to keep this a series. And I know Embiid said, we're the better team, we're going to win this series. That feels like sort of false bravado.
With his head down as he looks like he's about to burst into tears.
Yeah.
We're the better team.
I'm not even going to look at you guys when I say this because I don't really believe it myself. We know what's wrong. We're the better team. Now, you win that last night, I think you've got an argument. But you're down 2-0 and Brunson has struggled. That's rough.
What's so frustrating, and again, I know Maxey was sick. He played a great game. Maxey was phenomenal. Joel Embiid, you look at the box score, you think it's decent. He takes way too many threes still. He settles. When he gets tired, he wants to pump up the crowd and do his little dagger.
It's a big dagger because he's got a very long wingspan.
He's got a very long wingspan.
Yeah.
But you get to the free throw line almost more than anyone in the NBA. Keep doing it. You're 2 of 9 from three.
Right. I mean, both teams just stopped doing in the fourth quarter what they did to build their leads.
It's just, and then Tobias Harris is the most, is he the worst max contract player of all time? I mean, it's insane.
He disappears more than Anthony Davis. Well,
way more.
It's not that he disappears. It's like oftentimes it's just a no-show. He's just not there. He's there in spirit. He's there in uniform. It's like a uniform running around there if there was like someone who was wearing an invisibility cloak under the uniform. So it's like a uniform and shoes running around there, but you don't really have somebody filling out that jersey oftentimes.
They're just buns, man. I mean, outside of Embiid and Maxey, I mean, you have Tobias Harris, who's atrocious. You can't build your team because he's a max contract, so you're stuck with that monstrosity. Kyle Lowry is your point guard, who's 39. Like, if you want to talk about him and MJ Melendez, who's got, you know, more ass. I know you were talking about the other day with MJ Melendez. Mm-hmm. Kyle Lowry's got that going. That's the only thing he has going for him at this point because he can rebound, he can box out.
Yeah.
Kelly Oubre has been a decent sixth man this season, but he got hit by a car to start the year.
Yeah, that's difficult. Yeah, difficult to overcome getting hit by a car.
Nick Batum had one game where he went off in the playoffs. You're like, what am I watching? And then now he's realized I'm Nick Batum.
you got a podium game from Batum and you lost.
Yeah. And then,
that's rough.
And then Buddy Hield is, I don't know. I like Buddy Hield 4 years ago. I liked him in college. He doesn't bring anything to the table at this point. So it's just you have Embiid and Maxey, and that's it.
Yeah. And two teams last night that could have gone home with a series split 1-1 that cannot find a way to keep a sizable lead, maybe at different times, but a sizable enough lead that you got to hold on to. NBA playoffs, they were fun last night, depending on which side of the fun you were on.
Jason.
They were entertaining last night. They may not have been a fun result for some. They were entertaining last night. I go into it like I just like watching LeBron. The Lakers aren't winning. They're not winning the series. So that, you know, shot by Jamal Murray was just like, wow. Murray's a man, he's a freaking stud. He's an absolute stud, man. And he doesn't, he wins an NBA championship with the Joker, and yet he still is viewed as some sort of like, oh, nice player. Like, he's still viewed as one of the most he is one of the most underrated players in basketball. And we got to see him last year throughout the playoffs and win a championship and ball out. And it's still like, oh, yeah, Jamal Murray is a good player. What about the Joker, though?
Well, the issue is, at least to me, he's fine typically in the regular season.
Murray.
Oh, yeah. And then come postseason, he becomes a different guy.
Yeah, absolutely. It's playoff Pat. And I know Patrick does everything during the regular season, too. But it's just like, you know, that refuse to lose mentality. Like, he was terrible through the first, you know, 3.5 quarters. Then he gets a nice little mid-range jumper to fall and a layup to fall. And then he starts cooking.
Yeah.
And then that shot was going in. I mean, as soon as he shot it, I'm like, that's good. He's buried. Like, once he got the confidence, I mean, the dude is one of the best shooters in the NBA, and off balance, off platform, different spots. I mean, you know, and I'm not sure where Anthony Davis thought Jamal Murray was going, because he overcorrected to the block. Jamal Murray's not going to beat you to the block thinking that I'm going to be able to lay it up on Anthony Davis and LeBron crashing.
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to happen. I've got to get down and then step back. And Anthony Davis overcorrected, like, oh, I'm going to beat him to the, oh, whoops, he stepped back. Yes, of course he did. That's what Jamal Murray is going to do, man. It was a brilliant comeback by the Nuggets, and they didn't play well, and they still won the game, and the Lakers were playing out of their mind. Russell was out of his mind, and Anthony Davis was out of his mind. LeBron hit back-to-back threes late in the fourth quarter, but didn't hit the one there at the end when it was a tie game after, I don't remember who fell on the ground at that point that gave him the open shot, but either way, it was a fun night of basketball because both games were close, and it was, you know, an opportunity for both road teams to win, and the home teams found a way to win. I mean, that's what championship teams, you know, do, and the Nuggets we know are a championship team, and the Knicks are trying to be one.
I also think Denver is just the best constructed roster in all of the NBA.
It's really good.
I mean, you look at teams, you're like, well, they got a lot of guys. Like, the Lakers have some guys. They got some dudes, but D'Angelo Russell's helped. Austin Reeves is a little inconsistent. Ugh. And then Roy Hachimura, I like him, but I don't think he fits that team very well. You look at Denver, like Aaron Gordon, I think on most teams you're sitting here going, what's he bring to you? But for the Nuggets, he brings the athleticism and then the defense, the ability to guard 3 through 5. Because Nikola Jokic can do a little bit of everything. I think he gets a little bad rap. I think he's a better defensive player than I think he gets credit for. But he's not a superstar that demands the ball. So then you have Michael Porter Jr., who can create off the dribble and is a good three-point shooter, who's so dang tall.
Yeah.
He can get you 9 rebounds. He can do a little bit of the run and gun, right? And then you have Jamal Murray, who he can the pick and roll, the two game with Jamal and Nikola Jokic is the best in all of the NBA.
Awesome.
And then you have a veteran 3-and-D guy in Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to the bench, and you have guys like Reggie Jackson, Holiday, and then obviously the KU guy, Christian Brown.
I just love that Reggie Jackson walks on the floor and looks like the guy at the local Y that's like 55 years old. But is going to just rip your heart out. And is like, how is this dude dunking on me and knocking down, you know, fadeaway NBA threes? The guy's got the rec specs, and he's got the knee braces. And he's, what is going on with this dude, man? And then he just goes out there and just looks like that. So,
favorite player growing up had to have been Horace Grant.
No,
without a doubt, Reggie Jackson grew up loving Horace Grant.
For sure. For sure. So the NBA playoffs, we got the Suns and Timberwolves coming up tonight right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB at 6:30. Royals end up losing last night to the Toronto Blue Jays. It now feels like, what, 3 games in a row where they kind of didn't really feel like they were in it. You know, 7-0 on Saturday. They came back and made it a game and got there with bases loaded down by 1. Sunday down 5-0, and then for whatever reason, like, it was an old Royals feel of the 3-run triple was like, oh, this game's over.
Yeah.
I haven't had that feeling in a while. I haven't had that feeling of, oh, wait, this game's over. But the way the offense is going, it doesn't feel like they can overcome, you know, a crooked number in an inning right now. And you put up another, you know, 2 in a different inning, and you're down 5-0, and you get a couple of solo shots late. But, you know, it's too little too late, you know. And oddly enough, 2 solo shots from guys that we talked about a lot yesterday.
Yeah.
And Michael Garcia and Kyle Isbell. Isbell's going, oh, you want to talk about me? Great. The team I'm on now lost by 2 and not 3.
Well,
That's
what those dudes do. And, like, not necessarily Garcia, but how many times have you seen players, and it matters when these home runs and when these hits happen. Mm-hmm. Like, I get so frustrated. Well, he's batting 280 or just in general. Like, it's always with two outs and the game's right out of reach. I don't. What does he do with the bases juiced?
I went 2-for-4. That guy went 1-for-4. Why are you excited about him? Well, his 1-for-4 was a bases clearing double. Your 2-for-4 was two outs in an inning, nobody on, and they were bleeders.
Yeah,
so it just... I mean, that's why we're talking about his 1-for-4 there, bud. Okay, guy, it's all right. You know, it's about trying to win games.
And Isbell did hammer that ball, and in fairness to him, that ball was hammered.
Right.
And same with Michael Garcia, but we got to see more. And Garcia,
you don't get extra runs for how far you hit it, unfortunately.
You know, we got to see more from Garcia in general. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's going to be the hit that breaks him out of the slump, but it was just another frustrating game. And I think you were completely right when that bases clearing triple hit. It's over, and it was frustrating because it was actually a good pitch. Singer put that low and away. It was out of the zone, and it was just a great piece of hitting. I thought Singer, if you watched that game, the box score does not do it justice. It's why at times I say, Seth Lugo, I don't know if he can keep this up with how he's pitching some of the hard contact. Well, Brady Singer in this game, his sinker was up to 94, 95 at times, inner part of the plate.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was actually pitching fairly well, locating fairly well. The Blue Jays just had a great game plan, and any time he was even close to making a mistake, they didn't miss.
And they couldn't figure out Kikuchi last night.
No.
Which is, oftentimes happens. So he's been good this year, and he has shut down some pretty good offenses, and the Royals aren't one of those really good offenses right now. And that's not a surprise that he was out there doing what he did. I was a little surprised that before the game, Matt Quatrero was, talking about Dairon Blanco in the game, and I didn't see the lineup before that, so I'm listening to Q. And he's talking about Blanco in the game against a left-hander. And I'm like, oh, wow. So they played Hampson on Sunday in center. Now they're playing Blanco in center for Isbell. Maybe they are giving him a rest. And he's like, we're in a long stretch. We just want to get MJ a couple of days off against lefties. I'm like, oh, so. Okay. So MJ's the one that's not going to be, playing in the game. All right. And Hampson, again, was a start. So he gave Isbell a couple days off. So maybe coming in and pinch hitting that maybe that was okay. You get a little rest. Who knows? Anyway, Royals end up losing. We'll talk with Les Norman today coming up at noon. Breaking the Norm. It's presented by TruckMovers.com, First Federal Bank of Kansas City. A number of things I want to talk to Les about. And we'll get his thoughts on the way the Royals are going right now. 1-4 in their last five games. Those stretches happen. They still have three more in this series against the Blue Jays before going on the road to Detroit. So we'll talk about that with Les Norman coming up at noon. Adam Teicher will join us at 11 o'clock from ESPN. We'll talk some draft with Adam Teicher, get his thoughts on what the Chiefs will be doing on Thursday. He's got all the answers. He's going to tell us everything that will happen. We're going to go pick 1 through 32, and he's going to tell us each and everything, trades up, trades back, things like that, and who the teams select. We'll talk with Adam Teicher coming up at 11 o'clock. Todd Lebo with Fact or Fiction will join us in the 1 o'clock hour.
Fact.
That is a fact.
That's a fact.
Okay, have we checked?
I've not.
I'm going to take your word for fact.
He's doing his workout.
Okay.
I'm assuming.
Okay, he's at boot camp right now. Yeah. He's getting his fitness in. He's up in the gym just working on his fitness. He's working. So later on this hour, we're going to talk with a couple of special guests, Isaiah Salendo and Tom Watson. The Advent Health Championship coming up May 13th at Blue Hills Country Club. And Isaiah Salendo on the Corn Ferry Tour, he is number 5 in the points right now, top 30 on the Corn Ferry, get their PGA Tour card. So unless he stops playing golf, odds are he's going to be on the PGA Tour next year. And also Tom Watson is going to join us in that interview as well. So we'll talk some golf coming up later on this hour with Isaiah Salendo, who had his appendix taken out and then won his first Corn Ferry Tour event in the Panama Championship like a month later.
Dude.
And I do wonder what organ he would have taken out to win a green jacket. Because Tom's got two of them. So he took out his appendix to win the Panama Championship. What would you lose for that? For a green jacket?
You get two kidneys, right?
I mean, it's got to be more than just a kidney. I mean, kidneys for a random, a PGA Tour event that you can win. Like, hey, you won. There's $1.2 million.
Sure.
Great. I'll donate a kidney. Well, I'll donate a kidney right now for that much money. But a green jacket?
A toe.
We want a toe. I can get you a toe.
I can get you a toe.
I can get you nail polish on it if I need to. So we'll ask him about that. I don't think losing an organ for every win is sustainable for a golfer. Mm. I just don't think that's the case. But we'll talk with Isaiah Salindo and Tom Watson coming up later on this hour. Andy Reid, Brett Veach, and Mark Donovan, they all get contract extensions. Andy Reid is now signed through 2029. Whether he coaches for six more years or not, he's under contract for that long. The answer is no to this, but will it quiet the end of the season commentary and speculation about Andy Reid's going to retire at the end of the year, the new contract? The answer is no to this, but I'll ask you to.
Dude, Florio is punching air right now. That dude is on a beach just pounding sand.
Is Cuba Gooding Jr. in Boys in the Hood, or he's just punching the air after Ricky passed away? Spoiler alert. Sorry about that.
He's going to an abandoned train, and he's picking up rocks and just throwing it at the train. He's just...
He's not spray painting. He's not marking. He's not tagging
the train. No, he is getting the anger out somehow, so he's going to get those rocks. I can't imagine Florio having an arm, but he's going to try and hit that train.
Let's go ahead and bring in a Beat Street reference. We got Boys in the Hood. Now we got Beat Street. Let's do it. So he signs that contract. Brett Veach is taken care of, and Mark Donovan as well was part of the three guys that were announced yesterday. Here's a question I'll have, and we'll take a break, come back, and discuss it. Does this contract mean Andy Reid will be coaching long enough to break the record for wins by a head coach? We'll give you the numbers. We'll talk about that. And one of the things I've said for the last couple of years about looking at Don Shula, and we'll talk about what this contract may mean for that. And there's another Veach in town. Everything is turning up Veach. Laird Veach is the newest athletic director for the Missouri Tigers, announced earlier today by Mizzou with some statements from the Board of Curators, and also Laird Veach, former Memphis athletic director, where he was just hired from, was at Florida, was at Kansas State for a long time, worked with Missouri in the early 2000s, with Iowa State before that. So he's worked in the Big 12, the SEC, and as an athletic director now in the AAC, and is one of the up-and-coming athletic directors. Missouri landed Laird Veach roughly 2 months after we heard Laird Veach would be the guy. Yeah. So I do want to discuss that a little bit as to what that may mean. He just got a $25 million donation from FedEx to an NIL fund for Memphis in the AAC, so he can fundraise. And they said the two priorities for the AD is football and fundraising. So those two priorities for the AD at Mizzou are the priorities that every AD in America at a football school has in a big-time, you know, athletic department. What are your priorities? We need to win in football, and you need to fundraise. Gee, I don't know. I've never done that before as an athletic director. I don't know. That's not what I was thinking I would have to do as an AD. I got to worry about football and fundraise? Ooh, geez. I've been really good at hiring the hockey coach. Nailed those field hockey and lacrosse coaches, but you want me to focus on football. What about football? I've tilted on the soccer pitch. No? Okay. Fundraising? As an athletic director? When did that happen? Shocking. We'll take a timeout. Come back. More Zone next. All right, so Andy Reid has signed an extension with the Kansas City Chiefs. He is now under contract through 2029. Six-year contract for Andy Reid. He's now the highest-paid coach in the NFL. Not a surprise, Bill Belichick's not around. But also, even if Bill Belichick was around, you want the best coach to be the highest-paid coach. Therefore, Andy Reid should be the highest-paid coach as being the best coach in the NFL, Belichick or not. So, Don Shula has 328 regular season wins. Andy Reid is 70 wins shy of Don Shula. Don Shula's playoff and regular season wins are 347, also the most. Andy Reid's at 284. That's 63. So, he's seven games closer when you throw in all of the playoff wins as well. If he wins 12 games a year, including the playoffs, for 5 years, he'd be three wins away from breaking the record of Don Shula. Mm. My point is, how close does Andy Reid have to get before it becomes tangible and he goes, actually, I'm going to keep coaching? You know what I mean? Like, if he coaches for 3 years and he's now 25 wins away from Don Shula, does he go, I'm coming back for a couple more years and I'm going to go break Don Shula's record?
You would have to carry me off the field. I am breaking the record.
If I'm that close?
I am breaking the record, yeah.
Absolutely. We'll talk more about that. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll talk with Isaiah Salinda and Tom Watson coming up next. All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. We head up until 2 o'clock. We've got Les Norman today. We've got Adam Teicher today. We've got Todd Lebo. And right now we've got a couple of very special guests, because coming up later on in the month of May, May 13th through 19th, so less than a month away, Blue Hills Country Club, it is the Advent Health Championship with the Corn Ferry Tour. Joining us now is Isaiah Salinda, the number 5 ranked player in the standings and points at the Corn Ferry Tour. And, of course, Kansas City legend Tom Watson joining us here in the zone. Fellas, how are you?
Good.
Doing great, Jason.
Well, we appreciate you joining us. Tom, I want to start with you real quick because, you know, you being a Kansas City and so long on the PGA Tour and the senior PGA Tour, what do you feel like is the importance that the area continues to have the relationship with a PGA event, with the Corn Ferry Tour staying in here year after year, Advent Health, Blue Hills, you know, stepping up and continuing that tradition, the importance of the area to have that relationship with the PGA every year?
Well, Kansas City golf community is broad and really rich. There's a lot of wonderful golf here in Kansas City. The PGA Tour bringing the Corn Ferry Tour here is an important step into solidifying that commitment to golf. You know, we've had Children's Mercy Golf Classic here for 25 years, which I was a part of, to raise funds of bringing the top players on the PGA Tour in. Corn Ferry Tour is now a staple of professional golf here in Kansas City. I've added a few years back the Watson Challenge, which is for the best golfers of Kansas City, both amateur and pros, to play. And it's a wonderful event for people to go out and see these young kids. I say young kids, and they're all about 6'4", and they hit it farther. Honestly, they hit it farther than the PGA Tour players do. It's amazing. I've seen the stats, and their average length off the tee is longer than the PGA Tour. So go on out and watch these bombers hit it, and they can really play.
And it's the next level, too. I mean, previous winners of just here at Blue Hills, Zach Sutcher and Sepp Straka and Cameron Young. And, of course, you know, the best in the world right now and Scottie Scheffler played on the Corn Ferry Tour. So we see the next generation of players. And maybe that is one of the guests we have as well, as Isaiah Salinda joining us. And he'll be playing in the Corn Ferry Tour's Advent Health Championship. You know, Tom Watson is with us, and he just talked about the Children's Mercy Hospital relationship that he had for so long. My understanding, when you were in Kansas City last year, you were one of the golfers that visited the hospital and things like that. Have you thought about when you make it on the PGA Tour, as you know, the Corn Ferry players, top 30, if people don't know, get that PGA Tour card? Why was that something maybe that was important to you, and is that something maybe you want to continue as you make it further and further and more advanced in your career?
Yeah, that was definitely a cool experience to go to that children's hospital and kind of see what they go through on a daily basis. You know, I think that it kind of puts things into perspective for us pros who, you know, get to just play golf for a living. You know, we find it very hard at times, but, you know, to see what those kids go through and the positive attitude that they have, you know, it kind of stuck with me since then. And I'm definitely looking forward to going back to Kansas City. It's one of my favorite stops of the year, and you know, hopefully when I'm on tour next year, I'll be able to think more about how I can you know, kind of give back to to certain communities, and especially helping kids and growing the game, I think is something that's really important for me.
Is it difficult, or do you have to be more professional, Isaiah, when you're in Kansas City as a guy from San Francisco, when you see the billboards around town and the Super Bowls and Patrick Mahomes and things like that? Do you have to be more professional then if you're in Kansas City to understand you're here for a job? Because I feel like that could probably get to somebody from San Francisco. Sorry for the question.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I'm a huge 49ers fan, as most people who know me know that about me. But but you know, you got to give credit to them. I know some Chiefs fans in Kansas City. I stayed with a really great host family last year, who I'll stay with again. So I'm sure they're going to give me a hard time about that. How we are 0-2 against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, but I'm over it for now.
Good, good. Well, you know what? Just come here and win. Just come here and win next month. That would be great. You know?
That would be great. Yeah, I'll take that.
Isaiah, I have a question for you. I'm starting a program here in Kansas City for a couple of years. It's called Watson Links. It's a mentorship program that takes kids out on the golf course and plays nine holes. And both the mentors and the kids play for free. I started this program because I really believe that this is, how I started was my father. My father started me in the game, and he taught me the grip setup when I was 6 years old. My question to you is, how did you get started in the game?
Yeah, very similar to you, Mr. Watson. My dad introduced me to the game at a very young age. I was about 3 years old when I started.
3 years old. Man, you got me by three.
Yes. Yeah, I started young. He put some plastic golf clubs in my hands, and I would just swing it around the house and go to the driving range with him, you know, pretty much every day.
Did you break anything in the house?
Probably. My mom probably wasn't a huge fan of that, but I would just hit, like, wiffle balls and stuff. But, yeah, I was lucky. Started at a young age, and, you know, my dad and my uncles all play golf, so I was able to kind of learn the game and grow up playing golf with them and learning just kind of the values and lessons that golf teaches you in life. So I think that mentorship program is a really cool idea to get more kids involved in the game and just grow the game.
Well, that's exactly why we're doing it, Isaiah. We're trying to get kids who don't have access or a mentor to take them out on the golf course. You know, you and I were lucky. We had our dads to do it, and our uncles and my dad's friends. We were lucky to be able to do that. And we're doing this all over the country. We've got six locations around the country, and more coming. And we're really trying to expand this to get the kids out on the golf course. And there's nothing better than playing the golf. Yeah, it's one thing to hit balls on a practice tee. The real enjoyment of the game is to go out and actually play real golf.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And to compete.
Totally agree.
I mean, and to get that competition. I mean, we see it with a lot of different sports, whether it's football, basketball, baseball. You know, we got baseball going on with the summer, soccer. It's that competition that goes along with it, the winning, the losing, the lessons that come along with all of those things. And certainly golf, you can hit on the driving range. You can go in the backyard and just shoot baskets. But the difference of being on a basketball court or on a golf course is massive.
It is.
Totally.
Visiting with Isaiah Celinda, he'll be playing in the Advent Health Championship coming up next month at Blue Hills Country Club, and of course, Kansas City legend Tom Watson with us as well. Isaiah, I saw that you had your appendix removed before winning the Panama Championship in February. Was that strategy? Yeah. Was that negotiation with like the golf gods that my appendix to get a win?
I'm going to get my appendix taken next time I play.
Yeah, I have no idea. That was just, at the time I thought it was, kind of unfortunate timing because I had to miss the first couple events of the year in the Bahamas. I got my appendix removed right before New Year's. And that took me out for a few weeks. But, for my first event was Panama, and I don't know if I had, you know, the highest expectations. Felt pretty good about my game, but, you know, that's how golf works sometimes. You know, you never know when it could be your week.
How'd you feel coming up the last hole with an 8-shot lead?
You know, I actually didn't know where I stood until I walked up to the 18th green. You know, I knew I had a decent cushion. I thought it would be maybe 4 shots. But I look at the leaderboard and I had a 7-shot lead, you know, with a birdie putt coming, and I was pretty surprised, but, you know, definitely relieved. And, you know, that's kind of when I obviously knew that it was over. I just had to, you know, finish the round,
you could,
and
you could
luckily made that birdie putt. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
that
me.
I think
I could have won that one if I got on the green and had to 8-putt to win. as long as you did all the work before.
Augusta greens there, Jason. Yeah. The Augusta greens might prove a little bit of a problem with you.
Yeah, that probably, yes. But I feel confident. eight shots on the green. I feel like I can figure it out and get it close enough a number of times.
Definitely.
Isaiah, do you think losing an Oregon before a win is sustainable? Because I don't think that's going to help you down the road.
No, I think that was just a one-time thing. I hope I don't have to have anything else removed for the rest of my life. But, yeah, it turned out all right for me.
I don't know. For a green jacket, you might negotiate, you know?
For sure. Oh, I'd give up anything for it.
Tom's got two of them. Do they still fit you, Tom, the green jackets, when you go and put them on?
They do. They do. I've seen some green jackets that didn't fit. Some of the guys got a little portly over the years, but mine thankfully still does.
Yeah, it's a little too many champions dinners, maybe, for them. Isaiah Celinda and Tom Watson, our guest. Isaiah, what do you think when you see the guys come before you on the Corn Ferry Tour? You see the number one player in the world, and Scottie Scheffler is just incredibly dominant right now, that he sort of took the same path that you took. Is that inspiring? Is it, to drive you a little bit more? To know that is possible? Is it intimidating? Like, how do you view it from a professional golfer, knowing that you're not only, going up against the golf course, you're going up against every other golfer in the field that weekend?
Yeah, it's definitely inspiring to see, you know, guys like Scotty have so much success. And, you know, the majority of guys on the PGA Tour, I don't know the exact percentage, but it seems like almost all of them have come from the Corn Ferry Tour, and I think it's a great, it's a great step to take, playing on the Corn Ferry Tour, getting experience here, you know, trying to win tournaments, to be able to take my game to the next level. I think it's, very inspiring, and I think that kind of shows how great the competition is out here on the Corn Ferry Tour.
Tom, what's that feel like? What Scottie Scheffler is doing right now? In 82 and 83. You know, you had 5 out of 6 consecutive majors where you finished in the top 5, winning 3 of them. You were playing some phenomenal golf.
I didn't have the winning streak that Scotty has.
True. That's true. But you had 3 of them in those 2 years.
Remarkable winning 4 out of 5. And yeah. He's right there. And you look at his scoring average. I think he's only shot 72 once in that stretch. Yeah. Everything else has been under 72. So it's... Yeah, he's hitting more greens in regulation and everybody. And people were, you know, they're knocking him because he didn't make some putts last year and said, well, he's not a very good putter. Well, he's rolling those things in just like they're 2-footers.
Yeah,
you know, he's really putting well.
Yeah,
I'd love to be not a good putter like Scottie Scheffler.
You know, and I'm sure that Isaiah has had this feeling. We all golfers, we do have that time in our lives where we really we put everything together. Unfortunately, it doesn't come often enough. But when you do put it all together and you get out in a tournament situation, you know, you feel like you really do feel like you're going to win. Over my career, though, I knew I was going to win 5 times in my career, teeing it up on Thursday. That's
wow.
That's as many times as I ever knew. I knew I was going to win the tournament. I won 4 out of those 5 times and finished second once. But You know, things can happen, but, you know, I just really felt the tournament was mine to lose. Hmm. But that was a rarity. Hell, I, what did I do? I played in, you know, 600 events in my career, something like that, and only five times had that feeling. So it comes, it doesn't come very often, but right now for Scottie Scheffler, he has that feeling, hmm. I guarantee you.
Visiting with Isaiah Celinda and Tom Watson. Isaiah Celinda, number 5 in the standings in the Corn Ferry Tour. Advent Health Championship coming up May 13th through 19th. AdventHealthChampionship.com for tickets to volunteer. It's a really cool program with the volunteers as well, how they take care of you out there. And it's awesome to go out and see the guys who hit it long off the tee, like Tom Watson was talking about, and the next generation of the golfers on the PGA Tour. Guys, I can't thank you enough for joining us and hanging out with us for a little bit to talk some golf and to preview what's coming up in just a few weeks. And Isaiah, good luck this weekend as well as you get ready for a preview of the Advent Health Championship this week.
Or, yeah, good luck, Isaiah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'll see you out there.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate you joining us.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Tom Watson and Isaiah Celinda joining us here. Again, Advent Health Championship, AdventHealthChampionship.com, coming up May 13th through the 19th, Blue Hills Country Club, the only PGA Tour event in the KC metro area. How about that? Tom Watson teed it up on Thursday. He may have, you know, played 600 events, as he talked about, 600-plus events, whatever it was in his career, but five times he teed it up on Thursday and said, I'm winning this tournament. And he won four of them. And the only one he did not win, as he said, finished second. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, continue rolling. More Zone next.